Guys, welcome to Better Bachelor. This is Joker with a face for radio and a voice for print. Tonight, we're going to talk about why Rotten Tomatoes used to be my favorite review site. I used to like the Rotten Tomatoes gang, and I used to use it for my movie reviews, and it is now officially dead to me. And I don't think it's a viable, usable site anymore. And I'm going to read a story about somebody that noticed something a couple years ago from 2018. And then I'm going to use some current examples instead of the examples they used to talk about it a bit more. So let's record this and then we'll get started. But yeah, I used to listen to Rotten Tomatoes. I forget the guy's name, but one of the creators of it used to go on Adam Carolla's podcast, and they'd do a game where they'd talk about a movie, they'd give a description, and then the crew would try to guess the critics' score. And it used to actually be, like, I'd find myself in line with usually the critics and the users. I'd fall somewhere in between the two, depending on the style and the genre of movie. I mean, there's some genre of movies I don't like. So the romantic comedies, you know, I couldn't score one because I just don't like them. But sci-fi, I'll give it some passes where maybe some critics wouldn't. But I think it's completely broken now. And we're going to talk about the political side of Rotten Tomatoes, because that's where it's I don't know if it's the website itself that's broken, and I think it is. I'll talk about part of that in a moment. But I think it's the reviewers and then using Certified Fresh on Rotten Tomatoes as an advertising ploy. So I think there's a little something going behind the scenes here. So this first story I've got here, it's Certified Fresh: Are We in a Culture War? Rotten Tomatoes Critics Versus the Audiences. As someone who has been a harsh critic of Rotten Tomato for quite some time, this week feels like a good week to point out the site has been dropping the ball lately. It's obvious that Rotten Tomatoes has become a place seen as the be-all and end-all of film opinion. You see it in the movie advertising. This movie has a high score on Rotten Tomatoes, Certified Fresh. Then you go watch the film and wonder if these critics even watched the same movie you did. On the flip side, they also like to tear a film to shreds and proclaim it to be a disgrace, yet you watch the movie and you have no idea why they were so upset about it in the first place. The reason why you have such a discrepancy between critics and audiences is one reason: politics. Hollywood is an industry that doesn't even pretend not to be political, yet lie constantly about their intentions. However, the problem is much deeper than that. I mean, has anyone noticed that when talking about Rotten Tomatoes, no one ever talks about the audience score? And why would you? Why talk about what people who paid their hard-earned money actually thought of the film when you have Selected Opinion of Collider and Vox to tell you what to think about a movie? If The Shape of Water, winning Best Picture, a story about a woke mute woman with a gay neighbor teaming up with a kind-hearted communist and a strong, independent black woman to rescue a fish man from evil U.S. government, who she then fools around with, isn't a big enough example that critics and the industry, for that matter, don't have a finger on the pulse of what the people actually want, then you and Stevie Wonder have the same eye doctor. But even then, I'll give you five recent examples of where the critics got it wrong, whether intentionally or unintentionally. It's like intentionally. Okay, so then they go on with some movies from a couple years ago that were recent. What I'm going to talk about is some of the movies now. So when we talk about the Birds of Prey, and I kind of made fun of this because the pre-sales tickets were horrible. Well, they expected anywhere between a $45 and $55 million draw for the weekend. They got less than, I think it was 33.5 or 34, somewhere around there. They said it was really a bad opening. And so this weekend, I actually went to my local theater here. And then I also went to one in New York City, one that sounded big and grand and had a lot of seats, and it had IMAX and all the reclining seats and all that stuff. And I picked one in LA. And then I went to San Francisco just because it's very, you know, very woke out there. New York, LA, and the one around here for like the popular showings around 9 o'clock on Saturday, 7 o'clock on Saturday, those type of showings were maybe half sold out, which isn't good for an opening weekend by any means. And number two, the interesting thing is in San Fran is about the only place I found where they were mostly sold out. So they go on to give a description of Birds of Prey being this powerful girl power movie, yay women, and how wonderful it was, and how it was a roller coaster ride of beauty and explosions and excitement. And it was horrible. Like, it was really, really bad. The messaging, there's so much wrong with it. I won't even get into it. I think Tim Pool and I think The Quartering, no, The Quartering doesn't. Tim Pool has a review on it. He didn't like it at all. He hated it. I saw enough clips from it that I realized it was not going to be for me, and it's done very well. It doesn't look like it's really for anyone. But the point is that they give it 80% here, which brings it to one of the better voted movies out of the DC universe, It's one of the better rated ones. So the ones that we were comparing it to here, let me see if I can find them. Because if you look at it in comparison to, and I know I brought this up. Oh, here it is. Okay. So this is from Birds of Prey. Rotten Tomatoes score is currently among DCEU's best. And it says, it's been a minute since we last visited the DC Extended Universe. Now fans can travel back to the starting point via Birds of Prey, featuring the return of Margot Robbie's Harley Quinn, introducing characters like Huntress, Black Canary. Let's see. Birds of Prey has been getting a lot of positive press over the last week, to the point it's now one of the highest-ranked DCEU movies on Rotten Tomatoes. Audiences may still have hours to go see it, but here's the following initial wave of social media. It had an 87% among critics. This is not an 87% movie. Even if you're just looking for a fun, silly popcorn flick, as a person that's not worried about the woke or the feminist and all that stuff, maybe at best I'd give it a 70, a 65, again, from everything I've read, and I've seen some clips, and I've downloaded some from various places that if you go on websites, you can download it, and I watched a good portion of the movie, maybe the first half. I couldn't get through all of it. It was really bad, really bad. So they continue on. That makes Bird of Prey the third highest ranking DCEU movie, just behind Wonder Woman's 93 and Shazam's 90. But Aquaman was 66. Aquaman was better. The Man of Steel at 56. Man of Steel was much better. Justice League at 40%. Justice League was better than 40%. It was better than this movie, but not a great movie. And And Dawn of Justice at 28%. Superman versus Batman, Dawn of Justice at 28%. Again, and Suicide Squad at 27%. This movie was worse than all of those. But it was the message, and it was the politics in here that is making people push this movie so hard. You've got Harley Quinn, and basically all they're doing is beating up bad guys, and the bad guys are, every guy is cringeworthy in this movie, and they're complete idiots. But that's the entire movie. Now, normally you could say, okay, that's fine, that it's intended for that type of audience, and that's fine, but the interesting thing is that the 82% from audience, actually would understand, because those are the only type of people that went to see this movie. Like, everyday people did not go to see this movie because of what Ewan McGregor said about it being woke and feminism and all this other stuff. Ewan McGregor even said that. So I know most guys were like, nah, this is not something I'm going to see. So the audience score, I actually believe, but for the critics to say this is an 80%, the plot is ridiculous, the storyline, whatever. So the other thing is, if we go over here to Joker, right? Joker's got an 88%. Joker was an amazing film. Probably one of the best, I guess you'd say, villain or comic book movies, whichever you want to call it. This was by far one of my favorites. And the audience score of 88%, I think, is fair. I personally would rank it higher. But to give it a 68, nah, this doesn't make any sense. And then when we come over to Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker, the critics gave it a 52%. And this is why, this is really the review that killed it for me. When Captain Marvel came out, they said, okay, now you have to be certified or you have to prove your ticket stubs or something so you can leave a review on the movie, because it was just getting bombed, or supposedly it was getting bombed by people that were hating on it because of what Brie Larson said. But this score of 86% out of 97,000 people, when it had 2,000 people reviewing this movie, it was 86%. And The Quartering, the YouTube page, The Quartering, Jeremy, he did a great job of showing that it as it went from 2,000 all the way up through, it never changed from an 86%. And so his guesstimate, and a lot of people are now guessing this, is that they're releasing, they're kind of collecting reviews, and then they're releasing a certain amount that are good and bad at the same time to keep the score where they want it so it doesn't nosedive real quick. So after seeing basically the way that the critics go, and now that they're controlling the, because I even no matter what the critics do, I could still go and look at an audience score and have a pretty good feeling of, am I going to like this movie or not? Now, I really hated Rise of Skywalker. Like Act 1, pretty decent. Act 2 was nonsense. It was just a MacGuffin chase. And of course, Rey knew how to do everything miraculous. Like, oh, look at that. I can heal. Come on. And then Act 3 made no sense at all. It was the worst ending to almost any movie I've seen. Period. Sci-fi, any genre. It just made no sense. So I didn't agree with the audience score on this one. I do agree with the critics, ironically. But the audience score never changed from 86%, like I said, from 2,000 to 100,000. So now that they have to make you show proof that you saw the movie, they can also, they say they have to review your review to make sure that it's really a real sale. And if it's not, they toss out the review. And if it is, they keep it. So you're going to tell me that this, I mean, for the number of people that supposedly saw this, you're going to tell me that it stayed exactly at an 86% all the way? No, I don't think so. More than likely, they would release a certain amount of good with a certain few of the bad to keep that score the same. And at the end, I think they probably just ditched a bunch of the bad ones. I don't have any proof of this, but when I go look at so many movies now, and because I'm not part of the wokerati on the left and I'm not super progressive, I don't agree with the critics anymore. And you can ask, well, then why would the critics, you know, change their scores? It's because if you don't write good reviews for a movie or a theater, you don't get invited to the pre-screenings anymore. If you don't get invited to the pre-screenings, you don't get to write one of the first stories to get the most clicks, to get the most money. It all boils back down to money. So what they have to do is they have to give a good positive score, or else, you know, they're not going to get invited to these movie releases and all that, and they're not going to be able to be used. So to keep yourself in business, you almost have to write a good score. So by that alone, you can't listen to the critics. And then when they're controlling the audience score now, you can't listen to the audience anymore. So as far as I'm concerned, you know, after seeing everything that I've seen in the last 6 months to a year of what Rotten Tomatoes has done with their reviews, when I compare it to Metacritic, when I compare it to IMDb audience scores and other things, this is the only site that disagrees with everything else. IMDb and Metacritic are usually pretty close. And when I go read one-off reviews from certain writers that are not part of the, you know, the Twitter crowd and all that stuff, I seem to agree with a lot of them a lot more. So I don't know about you guys. I'd like to hear what you think. Do you even, I mean, a lot of you don't even watch movies anymore out in the theaters like me. But if you, you know, if you download something or you watch a movie, have you ever checked against Rotten Tomatoes and just said, man, I don't know where they're coming from? I mean, even this Dr. Dolittle, which has a critic score of 15, has an audience score of 76. How do you differ from basically the human race by 60%? I just don't think it's a usable site anymore, and I'm off it. I'm off it. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, it's kind of a dead site, and I'd be really curious to see what you guys think about it. So let me know. Let me know in the comments below. As always, please like, comment, share. Let me know what you're thinking about this stuff. And if you want to support my work, links are below. And those of you that have, thank you very much. I deeply, deeply appreciate it. Guys, I will leave it there. This is Better Bachelor. I am Joker. And who goes to the movies anymore anyway? Thank you.